As I was looking over the text for this week, I told many people that this week's lectionary text from Acts, it hits hard. And when you hear that first verse, you'll see what I mean. There's a heaviness to it in light of current world events. But it isn't just that first verse. The entire story, it still continues to speak into our world. One of my clergy friends, who is also preaching this text today, he said this, if anyone ever asks whether the Bible is relevant to today's world, show them this passage, which deals with whether a person with a minority gender identity is welcome in the church and takes place somewhere between Jerusalem and Gaza. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And as we prepare to hear God's word this day, let us pray. Eternal God, in the reading of the scripture, may your word be heard. In the meditations of our hearts, may your word be known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. Amen. A reading from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Cadence, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I shared with you last week that as we have walked through this season or thinking about the wisdom of Scripture, that Easter, Resurrection Day, is where we have been headed. The heart of the good news, the hope of the Christian faith. So this Easter season, we move from the wisdom of Scripture to the wisdom of resurrection. And so far, this is what we have named: hope, peace, the work of healing and restoration. And today, another story from the book of Acts as the followers of Jesus step out into the world to continue the mission and ministry of Jesus in light of the resurrection. A story that invites us to reflect on the good news. Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. This is a repetition from earlier in chapter 8, verse 12, but when they believed Philip, who was proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. And chapter 8 ends with Philip going to Caesarea to proclaim the good news. Our question becomes, what do we mean when we say good news of Jesus? Good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. What is the good news? Why is it good news? How is it good news for a broken and weary world? Acts answers these questions, expounds on the good news, says this is good news by telling a story. The story of an Ethiopian from the Upper Nile region. He is a high-ranking government official holding a position of considerable power, serving for the Ethiopian queen. He's wealthy enough that he possesses a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. It appears he does worship God and has an interest in the religion of the Hebrew people because we are told he is riding in his chariot, returning home after coming to worship in Jerusalem. And he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. He meets Philip, not by chance, not as they both happen to be going along their way. He meets Philip because Philip is sent. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he got up and went. And then later on, then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to him. Philip joins him in his chariot, and there conversation contains some pretty important questions. Do you understand what you are reading? How can I unless someone guides me? What is to prevent me from being baptized? What do we mean when we say good news of Jesus? Good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. What is the good news? Why is it good news? How is it good news to a broken and weary world? Acts answers these questions, expounds on the good news, says this is the good news by telling a story. It is a story of a foreigner, a non-Jewish outsider, a eunuch who, although he has chosen to travel to Jerusalem to worship and desires to be part of the worshiping body, he knows because of who he is, he's not part of the inner circle. Not only just because he is a foreigner, a non-Jewish outsider, but because Scripture, the works of the law, specifically Deuteronomy 23:1, tells him so. No one like this, it says, shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. It's the story of a disciple of Jesus Christ sent to meet someone like this. Meet them where they are, as they are. That line, Philip joins him in his chariot. Philip enters his space because the eunuch could not enter Philip's. Not completely, not fully, not yet. Philip is sent and offers the eunuch companionship along this journey of faith. It's the story of two individuals engaging Scripture together, bringing their personal stories and their personal experiences into Scripture to aid one another in understanding the overarching redemptive story of God. It's the story of two different individuals finding a meeting place, common ground, a safe space to question and answer within the story of Jesus. It's the story of the continued defining of the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. A story defining Jesus' role and work in the history of salvation. And it takes both characters, the stories of both individuals, to do so. It's a story that says the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus changes everything. The story builds and builds until we get to this defining moment. The eunuch proclaims, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" Oh, there was something that Philip could have used to prevent it. But this is the good news. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Instead of seeing the eunuch as something other, because of Jesus, Philip sees him in all his humanity, sees him as one whom Jesus loves. And this is good news. Last week, we had a similar story of being seen. Peter and John, they were headed to worship. They see someone lying outside the temple gate that they could have easily missed, a man. Lame from birth, carried and left outside the place of worship. Peter and John see him as one whom Jesus loves. And in the name of Jesus, Peter offers a healing touch and a healing word. And the man becomes part of the worshiping body. The good news of Jesus Christ, we learn most fully as we see one another and engage one another. The good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, we learn most fully as we are sent and choose to occupy a different space, hold a different orientation to power, and abide in relationship with those around us in a radically new way. One preacher said it this way: the encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch shows how the sinner is expanding and crossing surprising and unexpected borders, even into those places that seemed impossible. This is the good news. There is a present-day beautiful example of how encountering the other creates change. It comes from the Seeds of Peace camp in Maine, where young people from around the world can come together and are asked to, quote, make contact across a divide that seems unbridgeable. The camp brings together young people living in situations of conflict, such as Israel and Palestine. For some, it is the first time young people in those situations have spoken to those that they have counted as enemy. Now, they do engage in normal camp activities, but they also tackle divisive issues, trying to define their conflicts. They challenge each other's perspectives, and then they are sent as seeds to go out into the world, seeds of peace, face-to-face encounters across difference. Not just difference, but sometimes in this camp for histories of hurt and crime. The work is hard, but seeds are planted. Their website says, "In the midst of unspeakable violence, we stand by the words of our seeds. We, seeds of peace, hereby declare that we are tired of hatred, violence, and terror. We refuse to accept what is when we know what can be." What is the good news for the eunuch? Why is it good news? How is it good news to a broken and weary world? The good news for the eunuch is this: in the resurrection of Jesus, something transformative took place within our world. A seed, if you will, was planted. A seed of hope, peace, healing, and restoration. Emmanuel, God with us, came to say, "I see you." And being fully seen changes everything. Some of the protest and unrest we are currently witnessing comes from the reality that we are tired of not fully seeing each other. And we refuse to accept what is when we know what can be. This is the good news. The good news of Jesus, the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. We will see you when you are barely hanging on, and we will be a presence of hope. We will see you when chaos and violence rule, and we will be a breath of peace. We will see you when you are sick, and we will offer healing and restoration. That one seems very timely for us. We will see you when the world or the church tells you that you are something other, and we will call you brother and sister and friend. This is the good news to a broken and weary world. We will see you because God's abiding love in Jesus and the Holy Spirit's work have no limits and transcend all bounds. All who desire to follow in the way of Jesus must be messengers of his peace, agents of his healing, and ambassadors of his love. As the resident bishop of the Zimbabwe area preached last week at General Conference, he said, "There is no competition in the kingdom of God. It's about going out to those who need to hear the good news." Then Philip began to speak. And starting with scripture, he proclaimed the good news about Jesus. Amen.